August 10, 2020, it's the Watch from Pedro Show.
Thank you. memory, forever stiff night be. Names hung by your shadow, shifting winds, the faded horizon.
Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Monday. I'm very, very, very honored to have an old friend on the show this week, people. He's way up in Sandpoint, Idaho, almost by the Canadian border, that little strip between Washington State and Montana. But he lived SoCal many, many years, and I go way back with this man, and it's just beautiful. I should say that the show started off with John Coltrane doing Blues to You, the second tape in that session. And then Crane with Susan Loa doing Only Love. Crane, welcome aboard.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
Been a long time, right?
Good to be here.
I can't remember the last time I saw you. I know you make visits to Pedro, but it must have been 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Well, I'm thinking maybe I saw a gig of yours, but yeah, I mean, going back to a real serious sit down and hang out was the last interview you did with me and Dirk Vandenberg.
That's right. The tragic comedy. well, sort of. John Rotkowski was missing. But anyway, we're going to go through your journey through music. Crane, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Well, it's, my parents, my father was an avid big band jazz fan, so growing up hearing him play that music, and then my mother was a soprano in the school, and she was into classical music, so I was hearing classical music and jazz, and you know, I really got going in terms of a real influence when in the early 60s in California of the LA and Palos Verdes, when my parents would hold these big like big band swing, jazz, lounge, rock and roll kind of parties with oftentimes or a costume party kind of thing and just theme parties. And so, yeah, I used to hear a lot of really cool music at those, usually rock and roll music, whatever. And so that was a big influence too. But, yeah, a mixture of those two scenes. And then, yeah, the radio was the pop thing, and my brother would be playing tunes from his room. He was 4 years older, so almost a hippie, and so he was cranking out Creedence Clearwater and you know, a lot of rock, you know, Rare Earth, and you know, and then eventually like progressive rock, which like Genesis and King Crimson. So it kind of evolved through all the different scenes, and yeah, a big fan of progressive music as well.
Okay, so your mom was a singer, so she's a musician in a way.
Yeah, oh yeah. Her side of the family, goes way back with the musicianship. Her mother, this is like before, this is when the families used to play chamber music to entertain themselves, you know, at the turn of the 20th century. Her mother played piano, and her five brothers played, you know, banjo, guitar, and whatnot. So, you know, it's like, so yeah, that was the musical side of the family.
Now, when you were a boy, was there instruments in the house?
Oh yeah. My mother, she sang throughout her whole life in the church choir. And so she had, that was one of the cool things that was the first instrument I really got into jamming on was the, 60s, organ, with all kinds of stops. And, so yeah, since I had a headphone, I was able to, experiment, you know, late into the night without anyone hearing what I was doing. So I wouldn't be waking up anyone. And, so yeah, that was when I just really started getting into music with that. And then of course, you know, the next phase of that developed into playing the trumpet was, a guy came to school with a music man with different instruments.
I wanted to ask you, Craig.
So that's when
I wanted to ask you about school. So you took music in school, okay. And I know you were a trumpet player, but that came from that, right? Were you in the marching band?
Well, yeah, that came later. You know, my early playing music in school was fifth grade, got into the trumpet, and then, you know, sixth, seventh, and eighth, mid school, there was no marching band there, but that's where I really got a real love of music. I had a great teacher who brought in Broadway musical scores, I did a couple of musicals, Annie Get Your Gun in particular, so very professional, you know, music scores from Broadway. So, early on, I had a really great influence of traditional music, in that sense.
Were you in the choir?
No.
Okay. Because you've always sang all your life too, so I was wondering.
Well, I did that on the side, and I just love vocal music and a cappella. It's just something that over the years I've learned to be better at. You know, I it's one of those things that, you know, I have good ear for hearing pitch and all whatnot. But yeah, in terms of doing 3-part, 4-part harmonies, whatever, that's, I guess, more complicated. But over the years I've grown into doing that better.
I forgot to ask you, what was the first record you bought for yourself?
Let's see. that's kind of a funny question, because I'm kind of a person that really didn't buy records initially. I mean, I was more listening to the radio, and then evolved into, going to concerts and listening and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, a lot of the records that I was listening to were my brother's records. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a funny question, because I can tell you the records that I was influenced in terms of, getting into rock and roll and jamming, I didn't ask you that,
Crane.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know, but
Crane, there's no wrong answer.
Yeah, there's
no wrong answer. It's okay. It's okay.
No, I know. I'm just letting you know that.
I understand.
That, you know, in terms of an influence, you know, I'm trying to remember what, you know, buying records, but I mean, it's
I'll tell you why I asked that question. Because you're spending your own money. So I'm wondering, what would you spend your own money on, you know? It's not that important. It's not that important. What was the first gig you saw?
Well, Well, no, let me just touch base on that concept. I mean, when I got old enough to start making money, I ended up, you know, with the band jamming, and a lot of my money was going into buying cassettes to record our early recording sessions. So just to touch base on that. But yeah, in terms of influence, I just want to also touch base. I think the two rock and roll records that really turned me onto something totally different than what was usually on the radio of the Beach Boys and the Beatles was a John Lennon Plastic Ono Band, you know, the raw intensity of, you know, that music, and also Jethro Tull. This was with Dharma for One, the jamming on that. So those two records in particular turned me on into, you know, the whole different style of music. But yeah, in terms of getting back to your question about my first, like, big rock show, that turned out to be, I guess it was a junior or senior year in high school. I was kind of a late bloomer when it came to big gigs and stuff like that. But that was Led Zeppelin at the Forum with the Cashmere album. That was a mind blower.
Okay,
with Dirk Vandenberg, and
I want to play some music from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this tune is called. Okay. This tune's called Our Love.
I'm the city got me high.
One disaster, call it hurry. I'm no longer take the blame. I pop the lie, I take the blame. I pop the lie.
She's across the tracks, brought it back from Bible broken. Wicked witch. Your titties drip red lava. 3 fantasies.
Still is fun. Lovers wait.
Guns are all in our hands. We've got nothing to
we'll be right back.
Black for Beaver show, that was Crane with Our Love. After that, Sawako, Brand New. For These Times, Forest here. She came up with some music for Calm Down in the Stressful Times. After that was Few with P. Attic. She's got a new album coming. Tobacco, Mr. Tom, he's got a new album coming out. This is something he did with Trent Reznor called Babysitter. Will Johnson, Brand New Stuff. St. Anthony's, he just flowed this to me. I love his stuff. Brother Will. Pat Smear after that from the Germs with off his second album. It's called Lulu Bell. Maybe for Michelle Gerber. I hear him, Michelle Bell. I wonder. Because I hear him say Michelle at the end there. Helvetia, Brand New. Devastating Matt. Ultramarine also. Just out. The Golden Target. And finally, Promise of Love from Crane. Was Dirk Vandenberg, John Rotnasky, were those the first guys you made a band with?
Yes. Let me backtrack. I wasn't in a band per se, but I played with some neighbor kids, and playing the guitar and they were playing the guitar, surf music, and I was playing the trumpet, but it wasn't a band. But, the first group was not just let me clarify that. It wasn't with just John Rutnowski, Dirk Vandenberg. It was also with Charlie Hancock.
Yeah, Charlie.
Who was the neighborhood. He was in my neighborhood.
Right, and he's a keyboard man. And actually, I don't know Charlie so well because I meet you guys right after you guys kind of go from a four-piece to a three-piece.
Correct.
And I think you were called Cake Holes for a little bit with a girl singer.
Yeah.
But tell me about the first gig. Tell me about the first gig that you, Charlie, John, and Dirk did.
Okay. As you know, starting out in the tough LA music scene, trying to get a gig is quite a dilemma, a challenge. Let me put it that way. I believe that was Sweetwater in Redondo Beach near King Harbor.
The Fleet Dump was right next, a couple doors down.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there was a used clothes store called Aardvark's.
Yeah, you got a good memory, man.
I know, and it ain't even my town. But that's probably all I know about HB, actually, Redondo Beach and that stuff. But, you know what? I jumped the gun a little bit, Crane, because how did you get from the trumpet to the bass guitar?
And it all kind of started in the back row of English class with meeting Dirk, and we were, we couldn't stand the teacher, so we just, would write all kinds of kind of silly things. We didn't get good grades in that class, but we fostered a good friendship, and from that friendship, he mentioned, he's going, it's like, I've got my uncle drum in the garage rafters, it's like thinking of playing those, maybe we could do something, you get a bass and, got a good friend, John Rotnowski, he knows a little on the guitar, he actually took lessons, so let's do something. And so it's kind of like, let me just clarify too how the transformation happened, because at that point I was kind of getting a little fed up with the whole marching band thing. And this was junior, halfway through high school, junior year. And I was just kind of, feeling frustration with sheet music and wanted to maybe expand my horizon. So, that's what happened. We were very lucky that, and create a garage band at Dirk's place, and we played a lot of really experimental slash music slash noise.
What was your first bass?
For a long time.
What was your first bass, Craig?
Was it an EB3 Gibson?
EB2, right? Hollow body.
EB2. Yeah, that's it.
But I know you got a Hondo, too, that you had, like, aluminum foil on the headstock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I also wrapped it with burlap.
Yeah. Now, because I'm on, you know, we're both bass players, okay? So I want to relate. What was it like going from the trumpet to the bass, from your lips to your fingers?
Yeah, it was a totally, you know, different experience, that's for sure. I just kind of naturally picked up on feeling the music through my hand, it was a great transformation because, you know, you can play a lot longer on an instrument, a string instrument, than you can play on a brass instrument because, you know, you got endurance with the lips and the breathing. And so, yeah, I mean, I was able to play a lot longer and just was not as stressful in many ways. And so, it was just a really, really fun thing to do and just to play from the ear and from the heart, you know, and not be reading charts. I mean, I just was more into... I was really playing the bass like a fretless bass than, obviously we learned a few blues, rock tunes where, I know that, you know, it's going to be 1-4-5, but in terms of jamming, I was just like playing by ear and just not even pretending I didn't have frets and just going all over the place. And from that experience, it just really, made me a more acute improvisational player, which is one of my favorite art forms.
But you would say that all that time you put into the trumpet, it ended up being used in your bass, because in a way, the trumpet, you can slur notes. You can play, like, you know, fretless.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you always had your own style of bass. That's what I loved about your playing. You weren't the same-o, or cliche, or stereotype. And I always thought some of that had to do with your trumpet playing as a younger man. And, of course, you continued with the trumpet. You're on a couple Minuteman records.
Yeah, that's right.
You know whose idea that was, Crane? That was Dee Boone's idea.
Oh, wow. Cool.
In fact, he wrote the cheerleaders. Wrote the cheerleaders in King of the Hill specifically for your with trumpet parts for you.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
But
yeah,
that wasn't
that
the
was
first.
Cool.
The first was the product on Buzzer Howl.
Right.
And I think that was improvised. We didn't even come up with a part. Yeah. We just told you to blow. You know. It was great. I love
that.
Yeah,
I was on fire that day.
That solo was so great, Craig. So great. It's even got some vocal.
Yeah, at the end there, I'm like,
because you run out of air, right? Like you were talking about the endurance fingers versus lips and lungs,
yeah.
Chest. I don't know. In some ways,
yeah, well,
Craig, in some ways, you were kind of the fourth minute man.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I heard somebody in Amsterdam, somebody came up to me and said that. I was like, oh, wow, well, that's a nice compliment.
Well, I would say the only guy close to that was the original drummer, Frank Tonchi, right? He did 2 gigs with us. But nobody did as much spot jammed with us at some gigs. Dirk Vandenberg did. But you're actually on records and, you know. Anyway,
yeah,
I always thought there was a connect between your bass playing and your trumpet playing. And what the point I was trying to make was, like, music's it's a big reservoir, you know? I guess you're either drinking from it or pissing in it.
Sure.
Craig, we're at the end of the first hour. August 10, 2020 edition of Juan Pedro Show. Special guest, Crane. Hold tight for hour two. August 10, 2020. It's the second hour of the Juan Pedro Show.
You know, I often think about you and all those things that we used to do. But now you don't let me know that we're through.
I do. Thank you.
Peter's show start off the second hour with Crane doing Love I Thought I Knew, and then another Umbrella featuring the late great Richard Derrick along with Crane. After that, jam number 6 from Tragicomedy. I got this from you, Crane. You flowed it to me, bitching stuff. The Telepaths after that with Swamp Thing. I think they're Leicester out of England. Plastic People of the Universe. You remember them? They were, I think, a Czech band in the 60s. Delirium. And then finally, Being in Love with You from Crane. So, please, continue with the Sweetwater story gig.
Well, yeah, I'll get into that, but I just remembered, you're rattling my memory, which is a good thing. The first gig with Wasted Space, which was the name of the quartet, was actually in Redondo Beach at Pat's Place, a little beer tavern. And, yeah, those were some fun gigs. We did a few of those. But, yeah, getting back to the Sweetwater, that was our big, I'd say, you know, our first big professional gig, because that was a big kind of place. And we played with that's when we were the Cake Holes, and we had Victoria as singing vocals, backup vocals, and I think maybe one or two lead vocals. So yeah, what was kind of funny about that gig, was that, it was a big storm that night, and, it was flooding in King Harbor, and, the police closed off the road, so no one could really get to the show. There was like, you know, a few people were like you say, it was a semi cave. And yeah, the Princess Louise restaurant sank that night. So it was kind of like an ominous, omen of like things to come, kind of like, you know, oh, you know, it's like, this is our first big professional gig, and, you know, a ship sinks and no one comes to, can get to the gig because the road's blocked off. So it was kind of funny.
We call those character builders.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
yeah. That's right, Wasted Space. In fact, I got some Wasted Space next hour I'm going to play. You know,
oh, cool.
I my memory's kind of bad, too, so I forget the... Because I knew about this. You and Dirk enlightened me to this kind of stuff. What about songwriting? When did you start writing songs?
Well, it would actually kind of go back to when I was jamming on the organ in the mid 60s, or later 60s, you know, that time period, just kind of, you know, writing the little notes down, just not really songs per se, just, you know, interesting chord progressions. So yeah, the actual songwriting developed was when started the group Wasted Space, and a lot of that some of that song, right, not a lot of it, I don't know, but was came from jams. You know, that's why I was spending my money not on records but on tapes. You know, it costs a lot of money. I didn't have that. You know, I was a dishwasher my first job, so I wasn't making much money. So, you know, most of my money went to getting tapes to record our jams. And so, yeah, you know, after listening to a jam or whatever you do, is, you know, go, hey, well, that was a cool riff, you know, maybe build on that. And so kind of from that as a premise, I just started, you know, got a Strat guitar, and went on one of Dirk's Guitar Safari missions. And so, yeah, I just started really learning how to play chords on the guitar, making everything up. I never really, once again, I was determined to learn by ear, and So everything, and to this very day, that's pretty much how I still write my music. You know, it's like I don't really let me backtrack. Yeah, Dirk and I in Harvard College went to try to learn music theory, and you know, that class lasted maybe a 3 or 4 weeks at the most, and you know, so but no, I you know, learned the craft of writing songs just by experimenting, and you know, going, oh, this is a weird chord, and that kind of sounds good with this, and kind of building on that.
You never wrote on bass?
Oh yeah, I did some writing on, well, the, like I was going back to, write on bass really were the jam sessions that we had, and so yeah, go back and hear, you know, oh, that's a cool bass line. Let's, and you know what, you know, you were playing John on the guitar, or that sounded good, or maybe had something to do. The, you know, co-writing. I was always into the co-writing thing. I mean, I wish I, you know, the group would have expanded more on that. You know, because it turned out that I became the prominent, dominant writer of the group, and you know, I wrote all the songs for Homage for Nada with on your record label, New Alliance.
Not just mine.
So you know, the second
not, not just like, mine, Crane. There was also D. Boone and Martin. Look, I want to play another song from you. Our Love Will Grow.
When we're together, we have a very good time. We're just good friends, and that's where you drew the line. But lately I've been thinking there might be more to this, because sometimes when I look into your eyes, my feelings are hard to resist. I don't know what to say or what to do. I've gotta be sure that we're feeling the same way too. Our love will grow with the seeds that we sow. Learning from mistakes, we let them go. Our love will grow, and in time it will show. For when it's real love, we both shall know that our love will grow.
Okay, this song is called Sidewalks of Sidewalks of New York, and it's written to the tune of an old Jimmy Rogers song, which was called Waiting for a Train. And that song took place in Texas, but this song takes place in New York City, which is one of my favorite places on earth outside of this recording studio.
Me all dressed in blue jeans, in your purple gown, and though it was high summer, the snow was pouring. And if anything made any more sense to me, I believe I'd go insane.
Skating song, if I ever heard one.
Yeah, it's great. Roller skating.
You say Jimmy Rogers?
No, he didn't write that. I ripped the tune off him. Oh, look at my hand. That's what you get from playing guitar. No, I ripped that tune off the song that he wrote. And I don't know, the chorus is from an old song, and I don't know who wrote that. It's in the fake book, though.
I think it was in a movie or something like that. It was a theme song.
It's a beautiful song.
Why is something so important? We don't know exactly. No excitement or matter. It's not your fault. I saw you swim in the sea, far off any reflection. The wheel has destroyed the dream. People have the same thoughts. No one gets lost. I still don't sleep at night. I know what that means. Thank you. some excitement or matter. It's not your fault. I saw you swim in the sea, far off any reflection. The wheel has destroyed the dream. Do not take notice. People have the same thoughts.
Thank you.
For Peter Show, we heard Crane, Our Love Will Grow. Peter Lochner from the old Cleveland scene after that, with Sidewalks in New York. Now from England, I Know What That Means. Two backs from Italy, Fungar Part 1. And then finally, So Be It from Crane. So, you made a move to Idaho. But that did not stop you from writing songs.
Yep. Oh, no.
Yeah, in fact.
In fact, it got me more into writing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Talk about that, Craig.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, well, I lived most of my life in the L.A. suburbs and, enjoyed the whole experience of growing up in the in the 60s, the surf scene, and then that turned into the music scene. And so 6 years ago, I decided I needed a change of scenery. You know, so many things had changed in my life, and people going their different ways and all that. So, yeah, ever since I was young, I loved going to the forest, and my first experiences were going to the beautiful national parks my parents took us to. So I fell in love with that environment, and in the back of my mind, a lifelong dream to move to the forest. So I love it. It's got a lot of cool neighbor friends of deer and moose, squirrels and chipmunks and birds, et cetera. And, you know, got some cool neighbors too. So, yeah, I just really love the being close to nature. Always have, and growing up on the hill, I was always next to a field or woods, so that was kind of intrinsic in my blood.
But how does it connect with the songwriting?
Well, coming up here, I never really connected with the music scene up here. I did a few open mic nights. And, you know, people liked my music and whatnot, but, you know, I never really dug the solo act thing. And, I just really love working with people, so I haven't really made that connection. But, yeah, it's kind of funny that I hadn't done a solo acoustic gig for, I don't know, going back 20 years from when I open for Kevin Ayers. Richard Derrick set up a gig in Thai Ice in Hollywood, so I did that. But that was my one and only gig.
Crane, I'm not talking about performances. You've been sending me buttloads of songs. You must be writing them like crazy.
Well, yeah, I was getting back. I'm tying that into the whole my experience of coming up here with music. That's always been my intrinsic love is songwriting. So, I have this wonderful place that's out in the woods, and, it's not out there away from everything. I'm close to a road and people and whatnot, but I still have a lot of space, so I can play as loud music I want at any hour. But I just really have always, that's always been my first love is songwriting and songwriting in a studio environment doing recordings.
Okay, Crane, I got to stop you because we're at the end of the second hour, August 10, 2020 edition, Watt Pedro Show special guest, Crane. Hold tight for hour three. August 10, 2020, it's the third hour, Watt for Pedro Show.
bad complexion and a lot to say. Never asked direction, but I say it anyway. You better run to me. You better run to me. You better run. Terry Garn, John Denver had trouble in bed. Now John Denver's dead. Terry Garn, John Denver had trouble in bed. Now John Denver's dead. You better run to
first I said that phrase.
We find the spot of our
Cathedral Show started the third hour off with Crane doing Change of Heart. Wasted Space. People, this is the quartet with Charlie, Dirk, and John that Crane had before the Caicos, before Tragicomedy. That's the trajectory. My Girlfriend's Fine. Yeah, Full Fum after that. Tortured Soul. Full Fum. Let's talk about that a little later. Damon Smith after that. Night of Wheat.
Okay.
Because I think Full Fum only had one gig and one prac. But it's very interesting stuff. Spider Bags, Bad Complexion.
Yeah.
Flying Vipers after that. Brand New. 220s Clash. Mystical Weapons. That's Sean Lennon and Greg Sarnay. Wild Record. Consortium Musicum. And finally, Crane with Dreams Within Our Hearts. Yeah, Full Fum.
All right. Experimental group. I remember them.
Well, Enlightenment.
Huh?
Enlightenment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was Martin. Martin was in that with Dirk and our friend Kevin. That was, and you and I. So... let's see, Dirk played drums and Martin sax and Kevin sax and singing, mostly singing was, Martin and Kevin, and you were playing bass and you wrote some really cool bass lines for that group. And, I was mostly playing, urban sitar, which was two turned upside down cans with the guitar strings coming out of them with, tied to Civil War stirrups and a bow.
I remember. Actually,
and in fact, I played that instrument with you. I was just going to say, I played that instrument with you guys at Music Machine you jammed with Charlie Hayden.
That was McCabe's.
McCabe's, right.
But they're close. One's Santa Monica, one's yeah. West LA. They're close to each other. Yeah, you were real creative at that time. I remember you inventing a machine to conk, making sounds so you could conk easier.
Well, yeah, that was the urban. I actually made that in the state experimental instrument class.
Okay, I want to play the final chapter here.
Yeah. Take the pee on it, cool.
I'm gonna go my bar, my dear, I'm your soul.
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Crane doing the final chapter. After that, the Redneck Manifesto with Smile More. Shinag Zuba, which is Brother Koya's nom de plume, where he plays guitar for this movie, doing like kind of funk rhythm things. And this is the third piece of Funk Elastis. And finally, Crane with Mother Earth, which he asked me to play for this show last. Talk about, for a while there, you were getting into this healing music.
Yeah. I still am. I created, at that time, a concept called the Overtonophone, which was a portable, small clay chamber that one sings into, like a clay bowl, but coming out of the clay bowl are headphone, horns that come up to your ear, so you can sing into it and then through the chamber and into your ears and for overtone effects of, like, healing one's self. There's a concept from the Far East when I went there in the whole yogi experience in the Tibetan monks and all that, there's a concept called the missing note where, and there's an exercise where a person starts singing like a real low note and slowly goes up like a pitch pipe or a slide like a trombone going, and then slowly going up into the highest pitch. And along the way, you find a breaking point in your voice, and that's the missing note that you need to strengthen. So that is part of a theme that I'm actually working on again. I'm going to be sending a new version of the overtone of phone that can be from supplies from the hardware store, which I'm going to be sending to Sherry Edwards, famous sound healer who works with healing sounds that with a computer voice decoder that finds kind of like the missing tones in your voice, and then it's a similar concept that going back to the ancient sound healing.
Okay, where can people find you on the internet, Crane?
Yeah, my main website that I got a domain for is my full legal name of Richard Allen, A-L-A-N, Krieger, Krieger.com. And
Crane,
at that
Crane,
website,
Crane,
you can hear my music. And
Crane, it dropped out. Crane, I didn't get all that.
Hmm?
We got a terrible fucking connection. Out in the
okay.
woods there. Part of
yeah.
your, you got to spell out that URL again because your voice dropped out.
Okay. Yeah. My home web page is my full name, Richard Allen, A-L-A-N, Krieger, K-R-I-E-G-E-R.com. So RichardAllenKrieger.com. And at that website is links to various music. There's music there, but there's also links to my other music websites of Bandcamp, SoundCloud, and YouTube.
Now, besides the Overtone of Phone, what's your next musical plan?
Well, right now I'm really excited about getting my songs recorded by other recording artists. I've joined this professional music group, which was a takeoff from LinkedIn, which is just all music professionals, and you have to be invited into this group. It's called Music to Deal, and I got some good response from them, and they actually highlighted my song, A Place with No Time, the recording from Nashville. So, yeah, I'm still hoping to maybe connect with that. And, yeah, there, a lot of people like my hip-hop song, Wake Up the Neighbors. So see where that goes. But, yeah, I'm at a point now kind of where I've got to start promoting my music and my recordings exclusively because, you know, no one's really coming to my website. So, you know, I'm probably going to branch out to TuneCore or Spotify and just promote my music and promote put some albums together with the music that I've recorded over the years.
And you got quite a collection of songs.
Well, yeah, thank you, too, for playing them. I really appreciate it, man.
And, you know, it's good catching up with you again and seeing what's going on. You think in that solitary situation, it really focuses you on songwriting?
Oh yeah, totally. And you know, it's a situation where I'm also at a point where I'm hoping to work things out where I can get another place. You know, have two residences, one in LA area, so I can, you know, hang out with you and old friends, and because I miss that, and then have this place, and you know, I kind of like. During the winter season, I'll be hanging out in L.A. versus, you know, in an ice castle. So that's kind of the future I kind of am looking forward to.
Okay. Look, huge honor to have you back on the show, Crane. Love you. We go way back, and I know you're going to keep making great music down the road. And so thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with me today. People,
oh, you're welcome. Thank you, sir.
You're very, very welcome. People, it's been the August 10th, 2020 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.